fight, and you might die. Run, and you might live. How many movies have been made, and how many movies have been watched of wars and battles? And if we were honestly to ask ourselves, and if you truly look at humanity from the beginning of time, many of us, there's protests, no war, no fighting, we want peace, love, and all those good things. But we've been fighting from the very beginning. We've been keep on fighting to the very end. Why? Because there's such a war within every single one of us. Every single one of us, there is a battle and there is a war. There's a cry for something inside of us that says, freedom. I want freedom. Many of us in here, we love, you know, United States of America. We say it's the land of the free and home of the brave, right? Land of the free and home of the brave. And sometimes we wake up and maybe it doesn't feel like we're the land of the free and home of the brave. We love that we have men and women who are willing to go to war and to battle for us. They will leave this country and go to other countries to stand and fight for freedom. Freedom always comes with a great cost. Physically, many of us this morning, there are many freedoms in our country that we do enjoy. Freedom that came with a cost. But spiritually this morning is where we want to focus in on. To ask ourselves, am I spiritually free? Because we know that there's a physical world that we see. There's sun that's going to start beating down like crazy. When we walk out of here today, it's going to be hot. And we're going to feel it. And we're going to see the sunshine that's penetrating the earth. There is this beautiful physical world that we live in. But what dominates the physical world is the spiritual world that many of us, we know it's there. We know the spiritual world is here. We know there's angels and there's demons. We know that God gave his one and only son. We know so many of the truths of the spiritual world. But are we allowing it to dictate our life? And if we're not spiritually free, then we're really not free at all. Many of us this morning, if we were to, you know, think about at our age, because we're all young, to join the Marines or the Navy, can you imagine going to war and battle, becoming a prisoner of war, enslaved to another country? Many of our men and women have been tortured over and over and over again because they gave their life for this country. We do the exact same thing with Satan and the devil and his lies every single day, sometimes without even realizing it. And some of us, we do realize that we give into his lies, that we give into darkness without even realizing it. We know that we're born to be free, but yet we give moments, we give words and actions to darkness and to the devil, allowing ourselves to become a slave again, unfortunately. You know, the definition of freedom is a state of being, not being imprisoned or enslaved, or the power or right to act, to speak without hindrance or restraint. Freedom. God gave his son so that every one of us could be free, to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. God gave us freedom. It's what we're born. Every one of our hearts, minds, and soul, we want to be free. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you free this morning? Not free to go like have coffee after church, or not are you free to go get lunch and tacos after church, but are you free? Are you really free? Are you really free? Does our life, like William Wallace, do you think we are willing to fight and give our life to die, if that's what it costs, for the gospel? Or are we more the type that will run because we want to live? Jesus said, Luke 9:23, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. What benefit do you get if you gain the whole world And let's be honest, how many moments do we get stuck because we're trying to gain the whole world? We're trying to store so much stuff up in our life so that we can get another storage unit and put more stuff in it so that we can help someone make lots of money with all the storage units that are all over the place. We keep storing. How many of us live to try to gain the whole world? But Jesus said, but you're lost and destroyed. He said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory, in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. I tell you, the scripture right here kind of reminds me of what William Wallace said. Fight that we might die. Jesus said, take up your cross, follow after me, which is a symbol of death, giving everything. Run, try and gain the whole world. You might live a little longer, but you're going to lose. John 10:10, the thief's purpose, steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Rich and satisfying life. Does that mean that Jesus wants to give us millions and millions and millions and billions and billions of dollars? Is there more to life than what we possess? Do we live our life for more than what we possess? There's a massive fight for spiritual freedom today, and it dictates every part of our life. Truth and life versus darkness and lies. Truth and life versus darkness and lies. First Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. And I love how Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight. It wasn't just going out there fighting to be a Christian. What he was saying to Timothy, as a believer, as a Christ follower, we have to fight to get everything that God has for us. But in fighting for everything that God has for us, it does not mean that we're fighting for it for ourselves. What did God say to Abram? I'm going to bless you so you could be a blessing. Fighting the good fight of faith, to fight for everything that God has for us. It's not just a fight so that I can contain it, so that I can hold it, so that I can store up more stuff. I have to fight for all that God has for me so that I can be blessed, so that I can be a blessing. And with that this morning, all of that is my intro to open to our main text. We're going to go to Luke chapter 10, start in verse 25. Our theme for this month is freedom. Turn to your neighbor and say, freedom. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him up. They left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along. When he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine. He bandaged them. He put the man on his own donkey. He took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 coins, telling him, take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. And then Jesus said, now which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said, now go and do the same. And so this morning, as we break down the text, we see that it starts with a man who's considered an expert in religious law, an expert. Many of us here are experts in something. I've been selling food for 24 years. I'm not quite an expert, but I have learned about many different food products, many different levels of quality and goodness and beef and juiciness and all that good stuff. But I'm still not an expert, but I have learned a lot in 24 years of selling food. And every one of us in here are probably an expert at something. thing. This man was an expert in religious law. The first five books of the Bible. He understood the first five books of the Bible. He understood the rules and regulations. And for many of the experts in religious law, understanding the rules and regulations became the most important thing to these group of men. The experts in religious law, to understand the rules, to understand God's laws, that became more important than how we treat one another as human beings. These experts, they studied day and night the Word of God. But in studying the Word of God, it didn't help them become better men. It actually made them worse because they learned, they forgot how to love. And I wonder this morning, is there anything in life that has caused us, like this man, to maybe erase part of our memory, to inspire us, to maybe love a little less? He came to Jesus and he said, I have a question. And it wasn't just a question, you know, a nice question. It was a question because this question, it said, he wanted to test or trap Jesus. And so you could see his religious spirit. You can see the rebellious he had in his heart. He wasn't willing to see Jesus for who he was. He had a rebelliousness inside of him because all of his friends, all his brothers did not like Jesus. Why? Because he was different. Jesus wore different clothes. He had different cologne. It was more earthy than the ones they chose to wear every day. Jesus was different. And so all the religious men hated him. And so as they asked him a question, it wasn't because they wanted to get to know Jesus, right? Isn't that what we do when we want to get to know somebody? We ask some questions. They weren't asking Jesus a question because they wanted to get to know him. They were asking him a question because they wanted to test him, to trap him, and they wanted to put Jesus in the ground. And I love what Jesus did. Jesus did what many of us don't do when we're in a hard situation conversation. When something is asked of us, when someone comes up and runs up and asks us a question, and all of a sudden the light bulb's on, the light is shining on our head, and they're asking us a question, many of us, we just open our mouth and start babbling on like a fool. If someone ever asked you something, how do you cook? How do you clean? That's not something we want to answer, but what's your favorite place? Where do you like to go? How many of us just open up our mouth and we just babble on? There's something or someone that we all love to babble on about. But being asked the question, how do I get to heaven? What's our response? Who is God? What's our response? Jesus, there was many things that were asked of him. And at times, the answers that he gave, they were all amazing answers because he's the Son of God. But there was times where Jesus, when he was asked a question, he didn't respond with an answer. What did he do? He responded with a question. He knew that this man was trying to trap and test him. And when he was asked a question, he didn't respond with an answer. He responded with a question. Sometimes in being a Christian and being sons and daughters of the King, we don't have to babble on about why we go to church. We don't have to babble on. I'm trying to think of, oh my gosh, what am I going to say? If someone asked me something, what am I going to do? I don't know how to explain the Bible. I don't know how to explain how to get to heaven. I don't know how to explain the gospel story. Sometimes we worry too much about too many things. And if we just slow down and not get trapped in the worry of our brain, how do I answer this? Maybe we just listen. Jesus listened, and then he asked a question. You're asking me what's the most important thing? Jesus could have answered. He could have gave him an answer that blew his mind, but no. He stopped and said, well, how do you read it? And how did the guy read it? He said, to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. The two greatest commandments, the two greatest things that God asks every human individual on this planet, the two greatest things, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so the guy asked, well, who is is my neighbor. I love the story of, you know, the Samaritan man who did this. But today, we're not looking at this story of what we do so much for humanity. But we want to look at this story as how we love humanity. We want to look at this story how we love. Turn to your neighbor and say, how do you love, neighbor? Neighbor, neighbor, neighbor. Defining love, you know, love God with all of our heart means to love him with all of our thoughts and our affection. With all of our soul is our desires and our feelings. With all of our mind is the intelligence and the understanding. And with all of our strength is the energy and power. God, the greatest commandment is to love him with everything that we have within us. But the question is, are we honestly this morning truly free to love? Because in the end, the Bible talks about in the end, love will grow cold. Is it cold outside? No, feels kind of hot. But love, let's be honest, is more cold now than it's ever been. People do not love each other like they used to love each other. People do not love or use the term of love like it used to be. Love. If the greatest thing and the most important thing in the world is love and to learning to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, can we honestly say this morning that yes, I love God with all of my heart, mind, and soul? And we can say it, right? That's what's so awesome about church, because we all can say it. We all can raise our hands, we can clap, and we can high five, and yes, I love God. God's so awesome. But it's not what we do in here. It's how we live our life 7 days a week. Is it a reflection of saying, yes, I love God, but I'm going to make choices that reflect that in how I love God and love other people? Who am I supposed to love? I love the question that he's asked Jesus. Who am I supposed to love? Because Jesus, in this definition right here, see, we can see as we get into the text of the story of the Good Samaritan that this man was a Samaritan. He was somebody who Jews did not associate with. It's people who that the Jews hated, they did not like. And so he wanted, as he asked, who is my neighbor? Who are the people that I'm supposed to love? Jesus wanted to shock the crowd by saying, we love everyone unconditionally. We love everyone, just as we would say we love God. And Jesus alone, honestly, can define what love is. Let's be honest this morning. The number one thing that I think today, if the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist is here, and Apostle Paul said the spirit of the Antichrist was there when he was there before he died, but if the spirit of the Antichrist is now alive and moving very well, to me, what is the number one thing that the spirit of the Antichrist is doing? Causing hate and division with God's children. If love is cold, if many believers are turning away, then what's the number one thing that we have to fight and stand for? We must learn to fight and stand for love. Does it mean that we're all perfect at love? A feeling, it's a deep affection, it's intense emotions, desire for connection. Love is a choice, it's a commitment, it's a willingness, it's being able to prioritize someone's well-being above our own. Love, being able to put someone else's feelings above our own. Feelings, action, a desire for happiness and self and someone to share it with. Love is complex. It's powerful. It's a powerful emotion to show effort, to sometimes compromise and understanding for one other person. Love, I think today it's a little confusing. And I think many people are confused about what love is. Love has taken maybe a wrong turn for many people. Is love just love? Can we honestly say, and sometimes we use that word maybe a little loosely. You know, when Kim and I first met, this goes back just 10 years ago or something, but when we first got together, one of the things that we said when we talked in Hawaii and the beautiful stars is we would never say, love you, unless we really meant when we said, I love you. And so we talked over many cappuccinos and popcorn, many nights under the stars. Low fat popcorn and cappuccinos, calories, no salt. And for a couple months, when you go to missionary school, see, everyone, you're not supposed to date, but a lot of people date and get married anyway, they say. Because that's what we like to do as humans, right? They tell us, don't. So what do we do, right? Anyway. So we'd say to each other, I'm not going to say, yes, I like you. We're not going to say, I love you until I know that I mean it. And so as I was getting ready to get on a plane and go to Malaysia, and Kim had gotten on a plane to go to San Jose, we're standing in an airport, and we're talking on the phone, not knowing the next time when we'd be able to see each other again. We both said that word, I love you. And I can tell you, after months of talking and stating, we're not going to say it till we know, we definitely mean it. When we said it that very first time, I knew that with everything within me that I did truly love Miss Kim Weigel. Love sometimes today, you know, we use this word so loosely. And I think many of us, we say, you know, love you, 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 love you. Many people, I love this. I like this. I love this. And I think for many of us today, love has become confusing. And I think love maybe is a little bit blurry. For who, for what we want. Love, I can just love anyone or anything. Is love, to ask ourselves, is love getting my own way? Is love getting whatever and however I want it? Or is love maybe way deeper than what people understand love to be today? We know that number one, Bible says that God is love. It's 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so this, every one of our heart, mind, and souls, we are all wanting love and connection. If you know anybody and they run away from people, it's because they're broken. If you know anyone who runs away from humanity, runs away from people, they're running like William Wallace. You can run because you're trying to live. You're running because you want to have self-perseverance and preserve your heart, mind, and soul. You got to protect yourself from other people hurting you and being mean. God is love. And so this morning, last week we started the theme freedom, and we talked about our mind. Today we're talking about freedom, and it is all about love. It is all about love. Freedom, 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 freedom is learning how to love. And the question becomes, do I know truly how to love? And in trying to understand love today, number one, we have to remind ourselves, God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world that we may have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. He sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. John 15:12, this is my commandment. Jesus, this is my commandment. This is my commandment. So it's important to Jesus. Love each other the same way I loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for friends. John 13:34. He says, again, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other, just as I've loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world you're my disciples. So if God is love, if we take that statement, God is love, do we this morning understand the importance of God's love? It says, one, Jesus said, my commandment from the Son of God is to love, to lay your life down for someone else. This is love. Secondly, he said, your love will show the world who you belong to. Now, when we get married, that's what we do. We get married for lots of reasons, which we won't get into, but one of them is, you know, when you get married, you're making the statement, I love this person. And everywhere I go and everything that I do, my words, my actions, how I walk, how I talk, who I talk to will be reflected because I now have one person that I'm choosing to love above all else in humanity. Jesus said, your love will prove to the world who you belong to. Does our love for God, to love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul, do people walk up to us and say, man, I can just tell you're a disciple of Jesus. You're part of DOJ because you're a disciple of Jesus. I can see you love so much. How important is it to God? How important is it to us to love? Two men in the story that Jesus highlighted says that they saw a man. This man was related to the man who was hurt. There was a hurt man who was robbed, who was beaten up, and he was half dead, left half naked on the side of the road. The two men who walked by and saw him first, they were related. They were brothers. They were part of the same race and religion, same color. They had so many things in common. They had so many things going for them. The first two guys that walked by, you would think the natural thing to do is to stop and help a brother. Hey, he's got the same religion as me. Seems like a good guy. Seems like a good girl. Yeah, I should help him out. But he didn't. You know, the very beginning, to just run back a little bit, we know that the devil tempted Eve with what? More. Eve, you want more than what you have. You have the whole garden, but that's not enough. You need the one tree that you're not supposed to eat. And so the devil tempted Eve with more. But what I think the devil is tempting with humanity today is not in more, it's in giving less. In the very, 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 very beginning, he wanted Eve to get stuck on wanting more. And don't get me wrong, many people today, we're still stuck on we want more and more and more and more and more. More, 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 more. And we do. But at the same time, and on the other side of the coin, because there's heads and there's tails, the other side says, the devil's there. You don't need to give more in this situation. You need to give less. Two men who saw a man half dead, part of the same race, religion, we, the people listening to the story, would all assume these would be the people who would reach out and help. But no, they decided to ignore. Sometimes we ignore the people we're supposed to love. Sometimes we'll choose silence instead of love. Sometimes we choose to ignore instead of forgive. Just like these two guys here, whatever was going on in their head, everyone would expect them to be the ones to choose love, but they walked away. I must run so that I may live another day. Why would I stay and fight for something? Why would I stay and fight for something? Why would I stay and fight for something? It just seems like death is around the corner. These two men ignored their brother. These two men were silent. And I think today, most of us in here, the devil still tempts us with trying to get and live for more. But as love becomes more cold, he's trying to encourage us and tempt us to give less. Less of ourselves, less of our mind, less of our heart, less of our soul, over and over and over again. Why should I give? Remember David on our offering verse? Why would I give if it cost me something? How many of us, we have to calculate the cost over everything? In relationships, in church, in marriage, at our homes, everywhere we go. Let's be honest, how many of us are constantly calculating the cost? It costs this much? Yes, and I'm one of those people, I have to unfortunately admit, I do calculate the cost, and so there's many dumb dad jokes, husband jokes, money jokes that I make that are dumb and retarded because I'm constantly calculating the cost. It costs that much? Oh my gosh. But let's be honest, we do that with all the physical things we're going through. But what's more hurtful is some of us are calculating the cost of relationships that God wants us to have, and we're choosing to give less when he's saying, you need to give more. You need to give more. But it hurts. Yeah, give more. I feel so much pain. Yeah, you got to give more. What did Jesus say? If you want to be my follower, you have to take up your cross and follow after me. If you're going to live to gain the whole world, you're going to lose. Give up your life to follow me. Fight, yes, and we might die. Spiritually, absolutely. Run, try to preserve your life, try to protect your life, try to protect the hurt and the pain that we all feel sometimes. Betrayal, words, meanness, anger. Run and try and hide. You're not going to hide from God. Run to try and preserve yourself. It's not going to happen. The devil in this story, the devil in some of us, it's not about always going after what we don't have, but it's more today about calculating the cost. If I continue to give this person, this job, these feelings, I might lose. And I don't know about you, I don't like to lose. I don't like being a loser. I don't know if you've ever been called a loser. I don't like to lose. We cheer for the winners. Woo! But to calculate the cost, man, this hurts. These two men, they ignored this man who was left half dead because they were calculating the cost of having to stop their day, their time, this moment. They were probably part of the same church. There were synagogues all over the place. They probably went to the same one. Yeah, I should help, you know, Brother Fred, but I'm going to just keep on walking because I don't want to. I'm too busy. The cost is too much. And I wonder this morning, is there a cost in our head that keeps ringing? I can't continue to love or to give at this pace because it's costing too much. Jesus said, my commandment, love and give your life. Is that a big cost? It absolutely is. It's everything. That is giving everything we have. The world will know who you belong to by your love. And this morning, as we think about this story, we started our very first text, one of the most popular verses in the whole wide world, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave. He didn't count the cost. He didn't think, oh my gosh, humanity is not going to choose my son Jesus. Humanity, they're not going to choose the right path. There's going to be so many. They're going to choose darkness and lies and the devil's way, the broad way. God wasn't calculating, thinking about how many people would be rebellious and turn their backs on him. He was thinking about the ones who would choose. And the cost was not something he said, oh my gosh, it's just too much to bear. He was willing to give because he loved. I'm choosing to give because I love. I'm choosing to forgive because I love. I'm choosing the right path, even though it feels like death, because I love. God so loved me, he gave. And I have to remind myself over and over and over again, I have to love the same. In our homes, in our workplace, in church, in community, TV, government, everywhere we go and everything that we do, there's going to be people who bother us and get under our skin. You know, in our household, there's 7 humans, 2 dogs. And at times, our 2 dogs, even though they can be cute and wonderful, there's one who acts like a demon. And that demon, sometimes you're thinking, need to rebuke this demon possession right out of her. Little cute Stella. And there's other times where Stella will run up and kiss and lick and just want to be right next to you. And she just looks at you with those big brown eyes and says, I love you. She does, just like that. But how many of us in our households, you know, people who live together, you either learn to love or hate each other because you're so close in a house. And so we know that humanity, There's no perfect human on this planet, but yet how many of us demand perfection from the people we live with? How many of us in a household, we see people at their best, but we also see people at their worst? There are people sometimes who wake up hungry and they're starving. It can be grouchy. There's some of us sometimes that the heat, it really does bother some of us, the heat. And so we're sweating and I'm going to be a little grouchy and angry because I'm too hot right now. Unfortunately, sometimes the people who are closest to us in our lives, they can see us at our best and our worst. And the most powerful thing that we can do in our homes is what? To choose love. The church is called the body of Christ. And so that secondary place, we have our home where we learn to love. And then we have church where external, not family. Now we have another family, our church family. And sometimes, just like at homes, people, we see them at their best and worst. Sometimes in church families, do we see people at their best and at their worst as well? And at church, what do? Do we choose love? You know, the devil uses situations, he uses conversations, he uses words to separate, divide, to hate, to get us angry with people. But what would God do? What was the old saying? What would Jesus do? He would choose love. There's times when maybe I've been mad, and maybe I've been silent, maybe I've chosen to ignore. Many of us, we all deal with different situations in different ways. And that isn't to condone, that's not to make things right. But we read the Bible, and we talk about the Bible, and we talk about these things. It's because God is teaching us how to be better humans. And one of the greatest things that we need to be better at is love. William Wallace, fight and ye may die. Run, you might live. Many of us in here this morning, we're running. And sometimes we're running from what God has called us to do, what God has called us to be. I knew at 19 God wanted me to be a pastor, but I didn't really choose it until I was like 37. I'm only 39 now, just kidding. But years, I knew, very young age, what God wanted me to do, but I didn't choose to follow what he called me to do for a very, very long time. Some of us in here this morning, we know what God wants us to do, but yet we choose to run because we just don't know what's going to cost. Sometimes when we're asked to do certain things in church, at work, in the community, it's the same situation. Yeah, I should do the right thing, but it just costs too much. What if I mess up? What if God wants me to give a topic, a study on something? What if I mess up? What if I sound like a dork? What if I don't sound correct? How many of us were so afraid to take steps that God puts right in front of us because the cost is too much? We're going to get ready to start wrapping up. I'm going to have you grab your pencils, and we're going to read one scripture together before we get to our pencil situation. But I want you to hold them and feel and smell the lovely smell of lead in these pencils and wood as we get ready for school. But 1 John 4:20 says, if someone says, I love God, but they hate a fellow believer, that person's a liar. We don't love people. If we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we can't see? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must love all fellow believers. And all of us in here, I know we're saved. We've asked God in our heart and we say, God, I love you. Because we don't want to go to hell when we die. But some of us sometimes choose hell on earth because we're not choosing love. I love God, but I still hate someone. The Apostle John says, if you hate someone, you're a liar. You don't love God. If you have any kind of hate in your heart, and I understand, you know, there's things that have happened to all of us in here. There are moments, there are circumstances, there are words that people have said to us, and it really, really bothers us and gets under our skin. But we can't say, God, I love you, while hating someone, a human being that God chose to create. and have a purpose and a plan for. We can't say, God, I love you, and someone that we'd like to take outside and kill. 1 Timothy 6:12, now I'm going to skip that one. 1 Corinthians, if you have your Bibles, we're going to go 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as Apostle Paul defines love. He says, if I could speak of all the languages of the earth and angels, but do not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I could speak all the languages of the earth and angels, but I didn't love other people, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, he goes from knowledge to now spiritual matters, prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secrets and possessed all the knowledge, and if I had faith that can move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. We could be mountain movers. We could possess and know all of God's secrets when God's coming back. But Apostle Paul says, if we don't love, all of our actions mean nothing. If I give everything to the poor, even sacrifice my body, I could boast about how I'm a giver. But if I don't love others, then I gain nothing at all. Now he goes on to define love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous, nor is it boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages, special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Our knowledge is partial, it's incomplete. Even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, the partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and I thought and I reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. We see imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know, it's now it's partial, it's incomplete, but then one day I will know everything completely. And as God knows me completely, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. When we hear the Word of God, Do we read the Word of God so that we can point out the wrong in others, or do we read and hear the Word of God so we can ask ourselves, God, how do I need to change to become better? How do I need to change to be who you want me to be? Everything that we read and see, it's not so that we can point out, yeah, you're not doing this, you're not doing this, you're not doing this. And we all become good at that, let's be honest. No, it's to look within and say, God, help me. God, I fail at love sometimes. I fail at being patient. Sometimes I'm not kind, jealous, boastful, proud, sometimes rude, demanding my own way, irritable, which none of us ever are. Love keeps no records of wrongs. This is love. What's the greatest commandment? To love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and to love humanity. Not picking and choosing who's the same race, religion, or the same person who's a Republican or Democrat or, you know, libertarian or socialist. We're not choosing to love someone who's like me. I'm not choosing to love someone who looks like me, talks like me, wears the same kind of stuff as me. I'm not choosing to love only those who are nice to me. Because love is never, ever going to be defined and reflected, God's love, by only being nice to those who are nice. But love will be defined by how we treat people who are not so nice. People who are constantly barking orders. People who are constantly saying mean, hurtful words. Can we choose love? Love is hard. So if you take your first pencil, this is going to be fun. So take your first pencil, and I want you to just break it in the middle. You know, when I was in school, we used to love, you know, you try and break each other's pencils, what you do in class when the teacher gets boring. But hold up your two broken pieces here. This morning, as we start to wrap up, and hopefully we will here in the next 30 minutes. Just kidding. It's hard to love other people when we fail to see our own brokenness. Our first pencil, it reminds us from the very beginning, after good old Adam and Eve, that every single person born is broken. How many of us, we know someone, man, he or she, they look perfect. They're so smart. They're so handsome or beautiful. They sound so wise when they talk. They do everything so perfectly. They seem so confident. Everyone, no matter the look, is broken. And it's so easy to get out of love when we fail to recognize our own brokenness. Now we take our second pencil. What I want you to do with your second pencil, don't break it in the middle. I want you to break it towards the end. And after you break it towards the end, I want you to break another piece and keep breaking it as you go. Get like three or four good breaks in there. All right, I got four broken pieces. So our second pencil represents, you know, when we make a bad choice, that first bad choice is really easy, right? That first bad choice, like the pencil that we broke the first time, if you go right down the middle, it's pretty darn easy, simple. But you know what? The more times you break, the more bad choices you make. Good job, Brian. I'm going to show all my old teachers. See? These cost about 10 cents. And again, we could be, some of us calculating, what a waste. A dime's a dime. Why would I be wasting a dime on just an illustration? Every one of us, whether we're broken in half or we're broken in multiple pieces, the only way to become whole again, and that's where you're going to keep one whole pencil, is God's love. And the only way we can be who God wants us to be is choose to ignore the brokenness in other people and only focus on our own brokenness. We're all born broken. We're all born broken. And we can sit and we can talk about other people and all their broken things. But let me ask you this morning, honestly, no matter how many times we say we love God, no matter how many times we say we know the inside and outs of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, no matter how many of us say, I am going to heaven, I am good, I'm set in stone, my name's in the book of life. If we're continuing to run our mouth about other people and we say, I don't hate them. I don't. I just don't like them. I think God has a different opinion. If we continue to mouth our voices and our actions and our attitudes, continuing over and over to talk about how we don't like certain individuals, I think God has a different opinion. No matter how good we think we are, it's because we're failing to see we ourselves are broken. And instead of focusing on my brokenness, I'm just always going to focus on your brokenness. God is love. Love is patient and kind. Love's not jealous, boastful, or proud. It's not rude, does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love. How powerful is love? How powerful is love? God is love. God is love. And it's the greatest thing that he's asking us to do and fight for today. Fight love, and it could cause you some pain. Be forgiving, patient, and kind. Someone could walk all over you. Yes. But if I want to keep healed and stay whole, I got to choose love. Can we choose love? We know the amazing thing about God is that God is forgiving. And some of us in here, we're going to make wrong decisions. We're going to go. We're going to leave today. We could be rude with our mouth. We can run it a mile a minute. But good thing, God does forgive us. God does give us a second chance. But taking your pencil to remind me, you, and we, the next time someone says something rude, I'm going to choose love. I'm going to choose to be healthy. I'm going to choose to be whole because I choose love. Don't judge my mistakes. I don't want to judge your mistakes. I just lets us choose love. I think love is the right choice. And I think at the end of the time, in the end days, it's what God wants and what he needs us to choose. Because love is cold. Love is just not love. Love is just not love. I can love my dogs, and I do love my dogs. But the love that I have for my wife, it is completely different than the love that I have for my dogs. We love certain things. We love certain people. And it's not just the words we say. Do we make mistakes? Do we fall short in love sometimes? Absolutely. But I got to keep picking and choosing love. Fight. Yeah, we might die. Run this morning. You can try and preserve yourself in selfish ways. You're not going to live. You will lose. Choose love. Choose God's love. Let's pray. You know, as we get ready to pray, some of us, our thoughts and our minds are going crazy with different things right now. Let's just stop as we're thinking love. You know, Jesus said, if you know the truth, truth sets you free. So if Jesus is truth and his truth brings freedom, there's voices right now that are here, they're around, and they're not speaking truth, they're speaking lies. We shouldn't be focused right now in this moment on other things and other voices. It's the truth. It's God's word that sets me free.